The Tombs of Atuan by Ursula K. Le Guin. Copyright 1970-1971 by Ursula K. Le Guin. Narrated by Robert Donnelly.
This book was originally created for audio cassette playback. Any announcements concerning cassettes do not apply to this recording. This version contains markers allowing direct access to major portions of the book.
Annotation. Arha is taken from her parents to train as high priestess to the Old Ones in the tombs of Atuan. She endures her bleak captivity alone until a trespasser violates her domain in his search for the greatest treasure of the tombs. Sequel to A Wizard of Earthsea, for grades 6 to 9, 1971. From the book jacket. When she was still a girl, Tinar was stripped of her name and family and dedicated as High Priestess to the Nameless Ones, dark powers of the tombs of Atuan. This is the tale of the young wizard Ged, who came to the Forbidden Labyrinth to steal its greatest treasure, the Ring of Erith Akbe, and stayed to set Tinar free and lead her out of darkness. In the decades since its publication, Ursula K. Le Guin's award-winning Earthsea trilogy has become one of the most beloved fantasies of our time. The windswept world of Earthsea is one of the greatest creations in all fantasy literature, comparable to C.S. Lewis's Narnia or Tolkien's Middle-earth. The magnificent saga, begun in A Wizard of Earthsea, continues in The Tombs of Atuan and concludes with The Farthest Shore. About the author. A resident of Portland, Oregon, Ursula K. Le Guin was born in California, graduated from Radcliffe, and earned her master's degree at Columbia University. One of the most distinguished authors of our time and winner of numerous awards, including the National Book Award, the Nebula, and the Hugo, she has written many novels and short stories. Among her best-known books are The Left Hand of Darkness, The Dispossessed, and the Earthsea Trilogy. Her latest novel is The Eye of the Heron. Other books by Ursula Le Guin. The Beginning Place, Very Far Away from Anywhere Else. For the Redhead from Telluride. Contents. Prologue, Side 1. The Eaten One, Side 1. The Wall Around the Place, Side 1. The Prisoners, Side 1. Dreams and Tales, Side 1. Light Under the Hill, Side 2. The Man Trap, Side 2. The Great Treasure, Side 2. Names, Side 3. The Ring of Erith Akbe, Side 3. The Anger of the Dark, Side 3. The Western Mountains, Side 3. Voyage, Side 4. Prologue. Come home, Tinar! Come home! In the deep valley in the twilight, the apple trees were on the eve of blossoming. Here and there among the shadowed boughs, one flower had opened early, rose and white, like a faint star. Down the orchard aisles, in the thick, new, wet grass, the little girl ran for the joy of running. Hearing the call, she did not come at once, but made a long circle before she turned her face towards home. The mother, waiting in the doorway of the hut, with the firelight behind her, watched the tiny figure running and bobbing like a bit of thistledown blown over the darkening grass beneath the trees. By the corner of the hut, scraping clean an earth-clotted hoe, the father said, "Why do you let your heart hang on the child? They're coming to take her away next month, for good. Might as well bury her and be done with it. What's the good of clinging to one you're bound to lose? She's no good to us. If they'd pay for her when they took her, that would be something. But they won't. They'll take her, and that's an end of it." The mother said nothing, watching the child, who had stopped to look up through the trees. Over the high hills above the orchards, the evening star shone piercing clear. "She isn't ours. She never was since they came here and said she must be the priestess at the tombs. Why can't you see that?" The man's voice was harsh with complaint and bitterness. You have four others. They'll stay here, and this one won't. So don't set your heart on her. Let her go. When the time comes, the woman said, I will let her go. She bent to meet the child, who came running on little bare white feet across the muddy ground, and gathered her up in her arms. As she turned to enter the hut, she bent her head to kiss the child's hair, which was black, but her own hair, in the flicker of firelight from the hearth, was fair. The man stood outside, his own feet bare and cold on the ground, the clear sky of spring darkening above him. His face in the dusk was full of grief, a dull, heavy, angry grief that he would never find the words to say. At last he shrugged and followed his wife into the firelit room that rang with children's voices.